Hello and welcome to this session of What Does the Bible Say? I'm your host, Dr. Wayne Davis of Creekside Messianic Fellowship in beautiful Jasper, Georgia. We hold our services at 1191 East Church Street every Friday evening from 6 to 8 p.m. and every Saturday morning from 10:30 to 12:30. What we do is we take a book of the Bible and we go chapter by chapter and verse by verse to see what does the Bible say. So if you join me in Bible study this morning, if you just please open up your Bibles and let's look at it and see what does the Bible say. What does the truth there mean? Psalm 119 verse 142 in the Torah is truth. So if you're following the commandments, statutes, and judgments of God, you don't care that the light shines on. You don't care who sees because what you're doing is from God and it's right. But if you're walking in sin and you don't want to give up your sins, then you don't want the light. You want to stay in darkness so that nobody can know, or so you think.
So how can people read that and say repentance is simply just changing of mind? I've been reading that a lot.
I have too. It's getting to be a very popular theme is to redefine repentance as not changing your ways, not stopping your sin, but only changing your mind about how Yeshua is, about who Yeshua is. Back to Acts chapter 10. People go, what do you mean back? Well, we were there last night. Acts chapter 10, verse 43. Why does the 144,000 have to go to the whole world? Because there is no salvation except through Messiah. John 14, 6, and I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by me. Once the rapture and the resurrection happens, all those who are believers are gone. All those who are left behind are non-believers, so they have 7 years to change their mind if they live that long. Acts 10, 43 says, to him, that's Messiah, all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. That word whoever is a very powerful word. It doesn't mean just anyone from the Jewish people. It means anyone.
Means anyone except the Jewish people.
I beg your pardon?
Didn't you tell us about the preacher who was saying everybody will be saved except the Jews who have to go to the church?
Yeah. There are people who teach that. They're just wrong. Romans 6. Yeah, I heard an evangelist preaching specifically on Revelation, the tribulation period, saying when the rapture comes, that everyone saved will go unless they're born Jewish. And if they're born Jewish, they can't go because they have to go through God's wrath because God hates them anyway. I didn't go back. Romans 6:23. Hey, that sounds like a familiar verse. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Messiah Yeshua our Lord. But let's not miss verse 22 right before it. But now having been set free from sin, that is you've been saved, you've been washed, you've been cleansed, you've been set free from your sin. Having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness. Holiness, set apart. Not going back to the sins of the world. And the end of holiness is everlasting life. Because the holiness is a fruit of the spirit of those who are saved by faith. And then for... go ahead.
I was going to say, again, that's end as in the purpose, the goal, right?
Yep, correct. Isaiah 57... Isaiah 57. But that's in the Old Testament. Yeah. To me, the Old Testament and the New Testament all say the same thing. Isaiah 57, verse 8. You know what? I don't even want to do that one. Let's go back to Revelation. Go back to Revelation. There's only so much time. Revelation 14, verse 7. Time flies when I'm having fun. Verse 7 says, saying with a loud voice, this is the angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell in the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people. There's the angel is saying with a loud voice, fear God. What does fear God mean? Be obedient. Understand who he is. He's got your life in his hands, and not just the physical life, but life eternal. And give glory to him, not to the false Messiah, not to the false prophet, but to God and him alone. For the hour of his judgment has come. The tribulation period is described often as at that time or in that hour. If a day is to the Lord as 1,000 years, an hour is a much shorter period of time. It's the 7-year tribulation period. For the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea and springs of water. So the angel is crying, repent and be saved and obey God. Repent, repent, repent. Even the angels in heaven cry, repent. Verse 8, and another angel followed, saying, Babylon is fallen, is fallen. Why not Babylon is fallen? Why is there two? There's physical Babylon, there's spiritual Babylon. That great city, because she has made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Physical Babylon being referred to here is not the Babylon of 3,000 years ago. That Babylon was destroyed by the Medes and the Persians and was never again rebuilt. Somebody tried to rebuild the city of Babylon in our lifetimes. Who was that? Saddam Hussein of Iraq. And who was funding the effort to rebuild the city that God said would never be rebuilt? The World Council of Churches. And it was at that time when he started the rebuilding of the city of Babylon that Iraq was destroyed and Saddam Hussein was put to death. And the attempt to rebuild the old Babylon ceased. When God says it's not ever to be rebuilt again, it's never to be rebuilt again. So if Babylon fell thousands of years ago, never to be rebuilt again, what Babylon are they talking about in the tribulation period? It's not the old Babylon, but it's a city carrying on the sins in like manner to old Babylon. And what city is that?
It has 7 hills.
Yeah, it has 7 hills. Let's go back to 1 Peter chapter 5 and see if we can figure it out. 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter is ending his letter, as most of them do, by giving shout outs to people like Silvanus in verse 12. But in verse 13 it says, she who is in Babylon, elect together with you, greets you. You got to stop and go, wait a minute, there was no Babylon when Peter walked the earth. There was no church in Babylon because there was no Babylon. So what is he referring to here as Babylon? The answer is Rome. Yep, he was referring to Rome as Babylon, as being the one who carried on the old Babylonian pagan traditions and was trying to pervert the world. So let's go back to Revelation chapter 13. That's physical Babylon. In Revelation 14, 8, it's Rome. What is spiritual Babylon? That is the Roman Catholic Church and the Protestant churches that sprang off from her that carried forth the doctrine of the old Babylon, which we'll talk about in Revelation chapter 17. Remember, this is after the rapture. Anyone who is saved is gone. Don't forget that part.
So Peter in Rome at that time, this time.
Yeah, and Peter died in Rome. So that's... Yeah. Back to Revelation 14. Verse 8 said, another angel followed, saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she has made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Fornication referring to idolatry, that Babylon, the religious side, has taught the world idolatry. Again, more of that in Revelation chapter 17. Verse 9, this should send chills up our spine. Then a third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast in his image and receives his mark on his forehead or on his hand, he himself shall also drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out full strength into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. In other words, you take that mark, and you can only get it by worshiping the beast, and you have made your choice. Your fate is sealed. There is no repentance at that point. There is no undoing this. You've made your choice. That's why it's so important to let anyone who's left behind understand that you can't play at, well, I'll take the mark, but I won't really. I'll worship the beast, but not really. I won't really mean it. And God will understand, wink, wink, and he'll still save me and take me home. The Bible says you take that mark, which requires worshiping the beast, there's no coming back from that. So just don't do it. And it describes the wrath of God in verse 10. It says, which is poured out full strength into the cup of his indignation. How many times do we see that word indignation in the Old Testament? And what did it indicate in the Old Testament? The tribulation period. That's what it's indicating here. Let's go to Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2, we'll start in verse 5. But in accordance with your hardness, that is the hardness of your hearts, and your impenitent heart, what's impenitent mean?
Unrepentant.
You are treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath. The day of wrath is a term for what? The tribulation period in the day of the Lord. And revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each one according to his deeds. Where's that quoted from?
Revelation.
It's actually from Psalms. It's repeated in Revelation, but it goes all the way down. Eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality, but to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness. So what's the opposite of unrighteousness? The truth. Righteousness, the Torah. Indignation and wrath. Tribulation and anguish on every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also of the Greek or Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace to everyone who works what is good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek or the Gentile. For there is no partiality with God. Does this section of Romans chapter 2 say you need to be following the Torah? The answer is yes, it does. If you're not following the Torah, what does verse 8 call it? Unrighteousness. Let's turn back to Matthew chapter 3. see what the Lord had to say. In Matthew chapter 3, John the Baptist is baptizing down at the Jordan River. It's during the 40 days of Teshuvah, meaning repentance, the time from Elul 1, which is a week from now, until Yom Kippur, 40 days later. The message every year was repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And in Matthew chapter 3, here come the scribes and Pharisees to be baptized. What was the baptism to indicate? That one had repented and changed their heart. Had the scribes and Pharisees repented? No, they had not. So in verse 7 of Matthew 3, it says, "But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, 'Brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come?'" If you want to avoid the wrath to come, what do you need to do? To repent and be saved. They wanted to escape the wrath to come without repenting and being saved. How's that going to work out for them? Not too well. Isaiah 26. Isaiah 26 talks about the indignation. Isaiah 26, 19 to 21 is about the rapture and the resurrection. That it occurs before the indignation, which is the tribulation period, and the wrath of God being poured out, not afterwards. Verse 19 says, "Your dead shall live. Together with my dead body they shall arise." So Isaiah says, when the trumpet blows, I'm on the first train out of here. "Awake and sing," that is, sing a new song, Revelation 5. "You who dwell in dust, for your dew is like the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead. Come, my people, enter your chambers, your bridal chambers, the chadar, and shut your doors behind you. Hide yourself, as it were, for a little moment until the indignation is past." The indignation is the wrath of God being poured out in the tribulation period. After the indignation is past, it says, "For behold, the Lord comes out of his place," that's out of the bridal chamber, "to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth will also disclose her blood and will no more cover her slain." Then to Isaiah 66. Isaiah 66, verse 14 also talks about the indignation. "Does the Lord pour out his indignation on his children?" Let's read. Isaiah 66, 14. "When you see this, your heart shall rejoice, and your bones shall flourish like grass. The hand of the Lord," that is his peace and protection, "shall be known to his servants, and his indignation to his enemies." What's the opposite of his servants? His enemies. There's only two categories. Which are you? So this reminds us of Genesis chapter 19, when the angels told Lot, "We've got to get you out of this city, because until we do, we can't bring God's wrath and destruction upon Sodom. Because God will not pour out his wrath on his children and treat them like the non-believers. He just won't do that."
Is there an end times corollary to when Lot's
wife?
Yes.
When she turned back? Yeah. Unfortunately, what Lot's wife is a picture of is those who claim to be righteous, claim they're saved. When she looked back, it was because she didn't really want to leave. She didn't want to leave behind the ways of the world. So it's a picture of those who think they're saved, who think they're going to heaven, but they can want to continue to walk in sin and be taken out anyway, and it doesn't happen.
So the foolish virgins.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Back to Revelation. Maybe we'll go to chapter 14 this time. Sorry. Okay. This is just such a heavy topic. You got to lighten it a little. Verses 9 and 10 are so very clear. If you take the mark of the beast, you're doomed. There is no turning back. There is no second chance. There is no repentance. You're sealed for the lake of fire. So my advice is don't do that. Verse 11, and the smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever. There's so many people in the church that say, no. When judgment day comes, the unsaved are just burned up in a moment. What does this say? The smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever. Is there anything in the Old Testament that says this? Like in Isaiah chapter 66, the very last verse. Let's go look at Isaiah 66, the very last verse. Verses 22 to 24, to put it in context. For as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, says the Lord, that just means forever, so shall your, that's Israel's, descendants and your name remain. It shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, from one Sabbath to another, all flesh shall come to worship before me, says the Lord. Does that mean we're going to keep the Sabbath and the new heavens and the new earth? Yes, it does. And they shall go forth and look upon the corpses of the men who have transgressed against me, for their worm does not die and their fire is not quenched. They shall be an abhorrence to all flesh. The lake of fire burns forever and ever.
What is that word, worm?
It means their innermost self. Let's take a quick look at Mark 9. I don't know what Mark 9 says, but my Bible put a little footnote that said, go look at it. It's where it's quoted in the book of Mark. Verse 44, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. In verse 46, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. In verse 48, verse 47 ends, to be cast into hell fire, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. It means they're not going to be burned up. They're going to burn in suffering and agony forever and ever. How many of you have ever sat down at the table, lit a candle, and said, I wonder if it would be fun to hold my hand in the flame? Most of you are going, we're not that silly. But some are going, yeah, I've tried that. How long can you hold your hand in the flame before you decide that was a bad idea? Yeah, not very long. So the minute the unbelievers are cast into the lake of fire, they're going to realize they made a bad choice. Is there any way out of the lake of fire once you're cast in? The answer is no. So I tend to tell people there's only one way to get out of the lake of fire. And they go, oh, really? And that's never to be cast in the first place. And they go, oh, you tricked us. Okay. Back to Revelation 14:11. And the smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever. And they have no rest day or night. In other words, God doesn't turn the heat down at night. They have no rest day or night who worship the beast in his image and whoever receives the mark of his name. Why does God go on and on and on? He's saying, don't do this. Repent. Turn away from Babylon. That Babylon is teaching people to follow the beast. Is Babylon really teaching people to follow the beast? Is it today preparing people for the beast's reign? Turn back to Daniel 7 for just a moment and just think about verse 25, about the false Messiah. He shall speak pompous words against the Most High, that's 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Shall persecute the saints of the Most High, that's Revelation. And shall intend to change times and law, that is the feasts and festivals and the Torah, the rest of the Torah. So whenever the false church is teaching people that the laws have been abolished, we're not to do them, you can't keep Sabbath, you got to do Sunday, they're preparing people to accept the teaching of the false Messiah. For he's going to come along and say, yeah, just keep doing what you're doing. So back to Revelation 14, verse 12. That's why verse 12 appears here. It's not out of context, it's in context. That if you follow after the beast, you're condemned for all eternity to burn in the fire that's never quenched. So verse 12 says, here is the patience of the saints. These are the people that are not being cast into the lake of fire. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Yeshua. What if they just want to keep the commandments and be saved that way?
They can be part of the 144.
Not at this point. It's too late for that. You can't earn salvation. You never could. That was never the plan. It was never the way. So verse 13 of Revelation 14 says, then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write. And here's what to write. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. From now on. What's it mean to die in the Lord?
Saved.
So here comes the false Messiah's army saying, renounce Messiah or die. This is blessed are those who die in the Lord from now on. So does one renounce their faith to save their physical body for another couple of years? No. Bad move. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works follow them. What does it mean their works follow them?
Judged by your work.
Means they'll be judged on the works and they'll receive a reward. Let's go to Matthew 24. Matthew 24, but that's part of the Olivet Discourse.
You know, I think it could also mean like the influence that they had could continue on with their message.
That's true too. Their faith and their standing firm, even if it costs them their life, may cause others to be saved. Wouldn't that be a blessing to find out come Judgment Day that these people over here were all saved by your example? Yeah. Matthew 24, verse 21. Again, chapter 13 and 14 are foreshadowing what's to come.
Well, that's about all the time we have for today, folks. If you've enjoyed this Bible study and you want more information on what we teach, please go to our website at www.john1415.org, where you'll find all of our Bible studies for the past 3 or 4 years in MP3 format, organized by book. And we've covered just about every book in the Bible. So you can listen online or you can right-click on the link and download the file to your iPhone, iPad, or however you like to listen to your teachings. May God bless you. We'll see you next week.